could very well be. Well, they're in the pantry by the flour bag. The old city, you say? Quite possibly. William felt his jacket sag as he forced the big brass weights into his pocket. Use the old potato sack, do, said Mrs. Arcanum, now quite flustered by events. William grabbed the sack, rammed everything in, and ran for the door. The university and the river and everything, said the landlady nervously. Yes, yes, indeed. Mrs. Arcanum set her jaw. You will watch it out thoroughly afterwards, won't you? She said to his retreating back. William's progress slowed towards the end of the road. Big iron kitchen scales and a full set of weights aren't carried lightly. But that was the point, wasn't it? Weight. He ran and walked and dragged them through the freezing, foggy night until he reached Gleam Street. The lights were still on in the Inquiry building. How late do you need to stay up when you can make up the news as you go along, thought William. But this is real. Heavy, even. He hammered on the door of the Times shed until the dwarf opened up. The dwarf was amazed to see a frantic William de Worde rush past and drop the scales and weights on a desk. Please get Mr. Goodmountain up. We've got to get out another edition. And can I have $10, please? It took Goodmountain to sort things out when, night-shirted but still firmly helmeted, he clambered out of the cellar. No, $10, William was explaining to the bewildered dwarfs. $10 coins, not $10 worth of money. Why? To see how much $70,000 weigh. We haven't got $70,000. Look, even $1 coin would do, said William patiently. $10 would just be more accurate, that's all. I can work it out from there. 10 assorted coins were eventually procured from the dwarf's cash box and were duly weighed. Then William turned to a fresh page in his notebook and bent his head in ferocious calculation. The dwarfs watched him solemnly, as if he were conducting an alchemical experiment. Finally, he looked up from his figures, the light of revelation in his eyes. That's almost a third of a ton, he said. That's how much $70,000 coins weigh. I suppose a really good horse could carry that and a rider, but Vetinari walks with a stick. You saw him. It'd take him forever to load the horse up, and even if he got away, he could hardly travel fast. Vimes must have worked it out. He said the facts were stupid facts. Goodmountain had stationed himself before the rows of cases. Ready when you are, Chief, he said. All right, William hesitated. He knew the facts, but what did the facts suggest? Make the heading, Who Framed Lord Vetinari? And then the story starts, William watched the hand pounce and grab amongst the little boxes of type. Ankh-Morpork Pork City Watch now believe that at least one other person was involved in the
fracas, suggested Goodmountain.
No.
Rumpus.
In the attack at the palace on Tuesday morning. William waited until the dwarf had caught up. It was getting easier and easier to read the words forming in Goodmountain's hands as the fingers jumped from box to box. M-I-G-H-T. You've got an M for an N there, he said.
Oh, yes, sorry, carry on.
Evidence suggests that far from attacking his clerk as believed, Lord Vetinari may have discovered a crime in progress. The hand flew across the type. C-R-I-M-E, space, I-N. It stopped.
Are you sure about this?
Said Goodmountain. No, but it's as good a theory as any other, said William. That horse hadn't been loaded to escape. It had been loaded to be discovered. Someone had some plan, and it went wrong. I'm sure of that, at least. Right, new paragraph. A horse in the stables had been loaded with a third of a ton of coins, but in his current state of health, the patrician... One of the dwarfs had lit the stove. Another was stripping out the forms that contained the last edition. The room was coming alive again.
That's about 8 inches plus the heading, said Goodmountain, when William had finished. That should rattle people. You want to add any more stuff? Miss Saccharissa did something about Lady Salachi's ball, and there's a few small things.
William yawned. He didn't seem to be getting enough sleep these days.
Put them in, he said. And there's this clax from Lanka that came in when you'd gone home, said the dwarf. That'll cost us another 50p for the messenger. You remember you sent a clax this afternoon about snakes? He added, in the face of William's blank expression.
William read the flimsy sheet of paper. The message had been carefully transcribed in the neat handwriting of the semaphore operator. It was probably the strangest message yet sent on the new technology. King Verence of Lanka had also mastered the idea that the clax charged by the word. Women of Lanka, not Rupert, not inhabit, bearing snakes, stop. Children born this month, William Weaver, Constance Thatcher, Catastrophe Carter, all plus arms, legs, minus scales, fangs.
Ha! We have them, said William.
Give me 5 minutes and I'll put together a story on this. We shall soon see if the sword of truth can't beat the dragon of lies. Bodney gave him a kind look.
Didn't you say a lie can run round the world before the truth has got its boots on? He said.